Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. It is now exactly 16 minutes past the hour of 9. My name is Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online, we have Mawlana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself, Mawlana, on this place.
Alhamdulillah. I also take this opportunity of greeting all our listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, we were discussing the topic of understanding modern technology. We were dealing with social media. And last week we did about the issue of input and the issue of output, that input, constant urge to check a person's phone, unable to sleep without the phone, the fact that you need to be consumed, what are we consuming? We're always busy with something other than Allah, and to such an extent we're even busy with everything other than yourself. And then we come into the output, we say getting people's attention of people towards us. So what should we do? We should actually take 30 minutes for ourselves. Let's read Quran. Let's contemplate and sit. And then we did the saying of Umar radiallahu anhu, where he says, "Man kathura kalamuhu kathura saqatuhu, wa man kathura saqatuhu qalla hayauhu, wa man qalla hayauhu qalla wara'uhu, wa man qalla wara'uhu mata qalbuhu." And the meaning is that he who talks too much, he makes too many mistakes. When a person makes too many mistakes, he starts to lose his modesty. When you lose your modesty, then you lose your caution. And a person who loses his caution, then his heart dies. And thereafter, we also did that Allah doesn't like three types of people. This was a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And we said that the one that concerns us is al-farfarun, those who are in need to have every opinion about everything. They need to say something about everything. And thereafter we did what is haya, and we said that the yardstick, social media can be a yardstick to measure our modesty. And we did a few quotes, example the quote of Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi and Ibrahim bin Adham. Marana, a few weeks ago we had a question about ulama chat groups and so forth, and we mentioned that today inshallah we'll try to touch on the topic of SMS, that's social media sheikhs.
Yes, man, I see you're a good student. Alhamdulillah. This is an acronym that I used last week, that we're going to discuss this week. Social media sheikhs. And I've given it an acronym of SMS. Yes, this is also another avenue that needs some attention and some discussion. We also have the issue of people that are religious, alhamdulillah, or sometimes, rather may I say, they assume that they are religious. They have this very self-religious mindset, self-righteous mindset. But before going on to that, Mawlana, when we talk about ulama and scholars using the social media platform, there are various areas that we can have our discussion, or various avenues on which we can have this discussion. The one would be people that use it and pronounce it and use this medium to pronounce their opinions. Then we have people that would use this platform to become famous. And then we also have the people that follow such sheikhs and how they approach things and how do they interact in their chats and interaction with these types of people. And that's basically the area of discussion. So the first part is that we find people that may seem to be religious, or rather assume that they are religious. They have this very religious mindset, a self-righteous mindset, na'udhu billah, and may Allah save us from that. At least they think so, or have this religious persona. And we have this new, you know, social media, internet scholars and muftis. And these new found internet scholars, people posting sharp, opinionated, directive opinions on the social media platform. And sometimes it really becomes unbelievable how people do this, if they only know the consequences of such actions. It seems that there is such an obsession nowadays, because of the comfort levels that we have with social media, it seems that there is such an obsession of throwing these haram cannons of kufr, haram cannons of fatwa on one and all. and opinions on one and all. And we spoke about that in our last discussion where we spoke about a sarsarun, or someone that just wants to have an opinion on anything and everything. And some of the scholars, unfortunately, do fall in this category. These people, some of them, found a new forum for their acts of showing self-piety, a new forum for showing their own self-religiousness, and sometimes even a forum for showing that they know it better or they know it all. And this is another very dangerous area of the use of social media. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan." He reserves his place in Jahannam. He who lies and who relates to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anything intentionally that it was not from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reserves his place in Jahannam. Now, I want us just to keep and reflect on this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone who makes things of religion that is not about religion is included in this warning. Now, Islam lasted 1400 years before you and I came along. And Islam is not in need of people that would use this forum, a public forum, to blast kufr canons of fatwa on one and all. In fact, Allah teaches us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of dhikr, ask the people of knowledge, if you do not know. And people of knowledge don't express self-righteousness, their own opinions on public forums, and then cast judgments on others. People of knowledge don't do that. Expressing your opinion about a matter as the only opinion that you and your, sometimes just three people around you, represent, the only opinion about Islam, and declaring yourself as a religious authority, stating an opinion as a fact. And there's a thin line here, that stating your opinion as a fact, in especially matters where there are scholarly nuances, where there are scholarly subtle differences, where there is legitimate scholarly differences of opinion, and then you come along and give your opinion and declare the rest of the people as deviated, and you use this public forum to do that. And you know, many of these differences sometimes even go back to the previous scholars of our Salaf, and sometimes even to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And someone comes now in the 14th century and gives his opinion as the only opinion and as a fact. What you've done is you've just committed a religious crime. And it's a dangerous crime that one commits, especially on the social media forum. And people that do that have to understand that they will have to answer to the one to whom this religion belongs, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This deen does not belong to any one group. It does not belong to any one section or any one person. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. And you know, sometimes these people, they contribute nothing towards bringing people to Islam. Contribute nothing towards bringing people towards Allah. The only thing they do is confuse people online. The only action is to confuse people through social media platforms, because this is a comfort level that you can reach millions of people in a moment of time. So such people do nothing good for Islam. They only cause harm to Islam. Today, people sometimes sit with a certain sheikh, or they belong to a certain group, or they belong to a certain jamaat, and it gives them, they feel, the license to pronounce against people. Allahumma hafizna, may Allah save us.
Amen.
You know, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in are our role models. They stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were regarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the best of people. people whom Allah pronounced that He is satisfied with them, He is pleased with them, but they did not behave like how today the social media sheikhs behave. The Sahaba did not behave like that. They never spoke without knowledge. In fact, if you look at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, the Tabi'een, and the subsequent scholars of Islam, ulama of Islam, there was one particular comment that they used to make whenever they had to pronounce something. And they always said, Wallahu A'lam. These people don't, today we find people will blast their opinions, they will blast their canons of fatwa and whatever, and they never will have this Wallahu A'lam in their vocabulary. This in itself is a means of showing your arrogance. Some Sahaba were so cautious that they did not even relate a hadith until they were on their deathbed, out of fear that my narrative does not cause confusion in the ummah. And I'm narrating it now on my deathbed so that I don't fall into the category of concealing knowledge. Subhanallah. This was the level of precaution that the Sahaba exercised. Their level of caution was that they even refused to relate sometimes certain ahadith until they were on their deathbed, and out of fear that maybe what they narrate should not cause confusion in the ummah. And they only narrated it at the end, at the time of their deathbed, with this fear that they do not fall in the category of people concealing knowledge. But then there is now in our times this desire to be a celebrity, this desire to be a famous person, this desire to be showing self-religiousness, this desire to show that I know it all and my opinion is the only opinion. Now, this is something that we need to be careful of. Firstly, this was a general discussion for scholars that use the social media to pronounce opinions, and as facts, these are some of the things that we need to keep in mind. However, Maulana, if I can continue.
Sure.
I know these things that I'm saying may seem a bit harsh, but these are realities and we need to address these things. Now, another thing that I would like to talk about is how to stop being a celebrity sheikh. And this is another major fitna in our times. And have so many followers and fanboys and fangirls, murids that we call in our language and our terminology. Why are we using this to show how many followers we have? Rather, let's build real relationships with people instead of this artificial relationships. Yes, social media has its place. It has its definite position. But to show off and show that I'm a celebrity and I have so many followers and I have so many tweets and all of that, that's bordering on the line of ujub. It's bordering on the line of pride. It's bordering on the line of something that goes against the temperament of humility. We should rather be building real relationships with people. Now, how do I stop being a celebrity sheikh of having fanboys and fangirls and murids and build real relationships with them? Today we see a random inspirational Islamic clip on YouTube. A random brother or sister now feels that this speaker in the said clip or YouTube is the solution to all of their problems. And we find Facebook pages of a particular speaker, and we feel now compelled to comment on every single one of the status, for example. You know, popular Islamic speaker Facebook update, Alhamdulillah, has blessed our family with a new baby, please keep us in your du'as. And you find random Muslim persons commenting on people's status, you know, whether we love it, whether we hate it. Celebrity speaker culture is here with us because of social media. And the social media is playing a major role in promoting this culture. Now it's time for us to talk from the perspective of how we view and approach Islamic scholars and Islamic speakers. Firstly, these scholars that promote themselves or their groups or their followers promote them, inshallah they will be having all the sincerity that is desired of them, and inshallah Allah will take lots of good work from them. We're not here to pass judgments on anyone, because then I would be guilty of what we've just spoken in the beginning of our discussion, Maulana. Yeah. So that's not our purpose here, but we're just trying to press some buttons for us to just reflect on our actions and our approaches. So first of all, people that would do that and that will post so many posts about themselves, inshallah they have the sincerity, and we make dua that Allah takes work from such people and give them all this ikhlas and sincerity of doing that. But now let's talk about, from you and I, people that watch these ulama, watch these scholars, watch these sheikhs who have become famous. Let's talk from the perspective of how we view and approach certain scholars, speakers. Social media has created a world where people become very quickly popular, but also where approaching them is even easier than ever before. You may hear a talk that changes your life, alhamdulillah, and you can now just fire off a tweet at that person to thank them. You know, there was a book, Fanboy, Fangirl, Traps to Avoid. And I specifically took out some time to read this book because it affects us a lot, Maulana. And it's mentioned there that when meeting a mentor, however, this was regarding specifically an entrepreneurial mentor, someone where you've benefited as someone in business and you took him as a role model and he became an entrepreneurial mentor for you. And this could be an analogy, could be given across the line, wherever you have met someone and he has become like a role model for you or a mentor. And people have adopted these, from this book I have adopted some of the traps for our context from this book.
See.
Before continuing, it is important to understand what is happening beneath the surface. When someone influences you, particularly in helping you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this can be across, it can be on social media, or it can be just a live bayan or talk that you've heard of someone, or you've heard his or her talk on radio, YouTube, or you've been to some of the gatherings and majlis and you've heard some of the talks, and the person has influenced you, particularly in helping you coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens under the surface between you and that person emotionally? There is a natural inclination to want to connect with such a person. There is an inclination to build a relationship with them. There is this inclination to seek advice from them and even take mentorship from them. In other words, let that person become your sheikh, you know, in our language and our vocabulary. And you may experience that when you finally, if you heard the talk or you've seen the talk or you've read a book of the person, you get to meet the sheikh or the person or the scholar after being a fan of that person, after being a student of that person, or after reading his book, or after having heard his lectures, for over some time, yes, you get a bit giddy. You know, there's a particular sensation that comes out of you, which you may not have control over your emotions when you finally get to meet this person. But it is important to understand the boundaries so that we can create and maintain healthy, productive interaction. And I'm saying this again. You know, when we have this emotional attachment to people from whom we are benefiting in such way, and when we finally meet those people, there happens to some feelings go through people. but it's important for us to understand the boundaries so that we can create, maintain healthy, productive interaction, whether it's online or offline. And this is a huge problem today in the world that we are living in. With that, there are legitimate ways to connect with someone. There are legitimate ways to build a relationship with people, no matter how busy and famous they are. But on the other hand, there are ways to be completely creepy and weird, and social media is one such. And I want to just, Mana, for the benefit of our listeners, and a little bit through experience, just talk about what happens, you know. You get a tweet, you know, OMG, you are the best. This is not the wisest way to begin corresponding with someone. There is nothing wrong with thanking someone for how they have impacted you. But don't keep gushing and thanking them for how they impacted you. Don't thank them for being awesome. Thank them for how they impacted you. Don't thank them for being awesome. And this is one very important principle to keep in mind for both those that are following certain scholars and sheikhs and all of that via social media, online or offline. And it also addresses the scholars and the ulama and whoever else is attracting people, that we need to keep certain boundaries in place. For example, if you keep emailing someone, keep WhatsApping someone, keep tweeting to someone, and start each chat with something like, Subhanallah, Sheikh or Maulana, you are so gifted, it becomes awkward. It becomes uncomfortable. A better approach would be if reaching out to someone is saying something like, Jazakallah khair for your talk about such and such. I never thought about the revelation of Surah Iqra in the manner, and it has really changed the way I approach things. Make the content of the talk, content of the clip, the focus, and don't make the person the focus. And that's a primary, and I'm putting lots of emphasis on that. It's a primary thing that we need to keep in mind. And I'm saying this because, Mana, you know, we experience these things, and therefore I'm just relating the experiences that we have about these issues.
Definitely.
But together with that, there's also the aspect of false humility. This is also one of the biggest, you know, pet peeves and annoyance. Seriously, we need to get a grip of our way that we interact with people. Sometimes, or rather, let me say, not only sometimes, we that follow such people should always keep in mind that those that we are attracted to, those that we are following, they are humans. And we need to act like it. We need to treat them like normal. Don't be victim of personality worship. This is another major issue when people take mentorship with people. Don't be a victim of personality worship. This doesn't mean you need to be arrogant. Doesn't mean you need to be talking down to scholars and ulama and people that have attracted you or people who have affected you. Doesn't mean that we need to talk down upon them, but just be normal. Unfortunately, today being normal has become a challenge. Today, being normal, unfortunately, has become a challenge for both scholars, sheikhs, and the followers. Be respectful of a person's time. Be respectful of a person's position. But also have some dignity. An easy way to do this is try to anticipate the answers and be certain with something only they can answer. For example, you know, just because someone gives a great talk on Tawbah and Istighfar and repentance does not mean they can give you marital counseling. And this is something that we need to keep in mind, that people have been given different capacities, different abilities by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just because someone gives a great talk on repentance doesn't mean he's going to be able to resolve your marital problems, and he's going to give you the right marital counseling, or he's going to give you the right career advice, or he is able to tell you what to major in your studies, or that he may be the right person to talk to your kids just for 3 minutes and turn them into angels. A huge downside of this celebrity persona is the assumption that just because someone is famous, or just because he's able to garner 50,000 hits on a YouTube video or on a tweet, that they are suddenly able to solve all our problems. People sometimes come to an imam and ask him something like, a person in our community just got arrested, can you counsel him? The imam may say something like, okay, you know, you need a social worker. And they will say, but no, we want you to do it. You are so amazing. We saw you on YouTube, or we heard your talk, and you know so much about Islam. So the status of celebrity makes people infatuated with seeking solace only in that. And that's a dangerous area that the social media platform has provided people. The status of being a celebrity makes people infatuated with seeking comfort, with seeking solace, with seeking advice in all their problems only from that person. Remember, don't let your love of someone more well-known cause you to undervalue those that are near you. Don't let your love for someone more well-known cause you to undervalue those near you. I contend that the greatest casualty in the social media generation is the local imam. And that is something that we need to keep in mind. Maulana, I know I've spoken a lot. Is there anything that you want to just add on, Maulana?
Maulana, I think it's quite interesting. Maulana, let's just see if anyone has any comments or any input into our discussion. Also, they can contact us via SMS. That's 48855. They can SMS us on 48855. Or if they want to call us, it's 011-854-1548. It's 011-854-1548. Well, I think we can just take a quick short break, and inshallah after that we can continue.
No problem, Mara.
Welcome back to the social media program. It's now exactly 14 minutes to up to the hour of 10. Mara, we're waiting for any calls or any SMSs to come on our way. But at the moment, there's no calls or any SMSs.
That's fine, Maulana. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, it's fine. Okay. Maulana, can I continue?
Si, Maulana, we can continue.
Okay. Another aspect, Maulana, that we look at with social media is that when people become very famous, and you get this, you know, can I study with you? You know, I'll be your best student ever. And this, there's a quote that sums this up so beautifully. You know, think about the current mentors in your life. Did you like and trust them immediately, or did your relationships grow with them with time and work and mutual support? Sometimes in our desire to learn as much as we can from people you admire, you ask them for specific support and guidance without having any consideration of their time, without having any consideration of their ability. The alternative is that respect your own time and that of busy people. Mentors grow naturally. They are not manufactured. This is something that we need to understand. Mentors grow naturally. They are not manufactured. Social networking enables us to connect quickly. Social media enables us to connect very quickly with people. But that can easily fool us into thinking that we are building a relationship. Now, can you imagine someone going up to Sheikh Sudais after he does a recitation and saying, I loved your recitation. Do you have a few minutes? I'd like to recite the entire Quran to you so you can correct my tajweed and beautify my voice. That's what actually sometimes happens. It's ridiculous how people exactly do that via email, Twitter, Facebook comments to Islamic speakers on a daily basis. The dark side of all of this, Maulana, is that watch out for that day that the celebrity imam does or says something that a random Muslim person doesn't agree with. They will become the most hated faster than you can even break your wudu. People today, you know, swing wildly from loving someone to hating them. And then loving them again and then hating them again. And this is the easiest way to be perceived as an unstable and crazy person. So if someone does something you don't agree with, you don't need to crucify them online. Let them know with a little bit of menace why you are upset and how what they said may have affected you. Everyone makes mistakes. And therefore I said that in the beginning. You know, just treat people as normal people. When you benefited from something that they've done or spoke, show appreciation to that which they spoke, but not to the person himself. Do not let the person become the focus. Let the content become the focus. With this few words on this aspect, Maulana, I think I've come to an end of our lengthy discussion over a few weeks on social media. Obviously, there are so much more areas that one can cover. But I think we've done a fairly good job by covering a wide variety of topics under this discussion of social media. However, there is something else that I would have loved to continue with, and that is, if you recall, right in the beginning of our discussion, when I commenced and when we commenced with it, Maulana, we spoke about the transcendence of our deen and how our deen addresses even modern day technology via the Quran and via the ahadith. And during the course of our discussion, we did give reference of some of the ayats of the Quran Kareem. We also gave reference of some ahadith. There is a collection of a few ahadith relating to this topic, which I would have loved to just go through the ahadith and then give us very small commentary on this ahadith. There's about 30 odd ahadith. But inshallah, I think we'll leave that for now. When we get back, I won't be here for the next few weeks, but when we get back, inshallah, then we'll just discuss those ahadith, and with that we will try to come to an end of our discussion on social media, and then inshallah we will continue with the tafsir of Surah Kahf, which we had paused for a while and adjourned that discussion, and we'll then go back onto that discussion, inshallah.
Maulana, jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to Maulana after Maulana goes for the holiday in the Umrah.
Inshallah.
It brings to the end of today's discussion. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Ba, my engineer, and Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.